All right, we're on the bottom of Chafes Amud Aleph. Right, we're at Zechor HaYisi Beplonis, and that's where we are on two, three, four lines in the bottom. Does that make sense? That's correct, right? Yeah, okay, fine. So one of the things that the talking about now, the person who was a katan when he saw certain things, and now he's giving the testimony when he is now a gadol. And one of the examples was Zechor HaYisi Beplonis SheYotza BeHinuma VeRosha Parua. So he remembers, a woman, when she got married, that she was wearing something on a specific thing on her head, and her hair was uncovered, which is the way that women who were basulos would go out when they would get married. So again, so is that going to be a proof, or we can use his testimony to prove that she was a basula when she got married? So my time, why do we talk a believer? We are four lines from the bottom on Chafchas Amud Aleph.
It said like the first line of the Gemara said, Hasheish go gadol imo. Is that specifically just for the case of
this? Oh, the case before?
Yeah, or is that for all of the cases in the Mishnah?
When it says, that's a good question. So we're going to have to see. That's a good question. It presumably would be all the cases. Okay. Presumably. Yeah, presumably. But let's see. Okay, so again, so the Gemara is going to ask now, my time. All right, my time, what's the reason why you believe him in this case to say that she went out, with this looking a specific way to prove that she was a Pesula when she got married? So why is that? Came in the Rov Nashim Pesulos Nisos Galut Gilei Milsa Ba'amahu. So the answer is because really he's just kind of confirming what we know already. Most women who get married is their first marriage. Right? It's just most women get married, they're Pesulos when they get married. So he happens to confirm it. Okay, fine, good, thank you. But even if he hadn't said it, we would have kind of assumed that was the truth anyways. And that's, again, one of the reasons why it's not such a big deal. He's not telling us some big chiddush that we otherwise wouldn't have known. Okay, next example. There's a certain person left the school, and they left the yeshiva to go be tovel in the mikvah so he could eat truma. Again, seeming to be a testimony that the person is a kohen. Says Gemara, but Dilma Eved Kohen Hu. How could you believe it? Maybe this person is the Eved of a Kohen, because an Eved of a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma, and therefore the fact that this he has a recollection that this person used to go out of the school and go to the mikvah to eat Truma, maybe that has nothing to do with the fact that this is a Kohen. Maybe it's just an Eved Kohen. So says Gemara, but sadly, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Dam Yeshua ben Levi. So it supports the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi, who says it's forbidden for a person to teach his Eved Torah. Why? Because the example is this person left the school. Right? They left the yeshiva to go to the mikvah. So why would we not assume it's an Eved Kohen? Because an Eved Kohen wouldn't have been in the yeshiva. Because it's forbidden to teach your Eved Torah, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi. Okay, so that's why. Really? Velo? Really? You're not allowed? But Tanya, Lo Vehemenu Rabbo. Osha aso rabo apotropis. Let's say a master of a slave borrowed money from him, or he made him into an apotropis, right? A guarantor on a loan. Osha niach tefillin b'fnei rabo, or he was put on tefillin with his master there. Osha kara shlosha psukim v'sakneses, or he read three psukim in the shul. So this person doesn't go free because of that. Rashi says, second line in Rashi on the top of the page. We don't say, it must be he was freed already, right? Because if he hadn't been freed, he never would do these things in front of his master. We don't say that. And we say, no, it could be he's still an Eved. Right, so what do you see? Says Rashi, "V'shemina mina the yesh eved shalom Torah." You have an eved who reads three psukim, right? So you see, the whole point that's being made there is that just because he does these things doesn't mean he's necessarily a free person, right? He may still be an eved. Oh, still an eved, and he's learning Torah. So what do you mean? You just told me that we passing that an eved is not allowed to learn Torah. So it says Gemara, "No, hasam the ikri eved midaito." Right? No. So what's the case here? The case here is not that he taught him. Here is the Eved decided on his own to read. It doesn't mean that he taught him. Right? He's just reading on his own. That's something else. So kikam ridan the kanoig be minag banim. right? And the point is that he's acting. You know, the concern is if you mamish teach him, but he's doing it on his own. That's something that that's something else. So that's why this is no proof, and it's still, you know, this whole conversation is still a proof for, you know, at least support from Shuban Levi, who holds that it's forbidden for a person to teach Torah to his Eved. Fine. Okay. Next example. Litvo lecho betruma. So again, he saw that the person went to the mikvah to eat truma. So what's the case? Betruma derabanan. Again, this is only, if it's a deraisa, we're not accepting this testimony. So it must be we're talking about the person going to eat truma derabanan. Right? Because again, the whole point here is that this testimony of this person who's a gadol, but when he saw the testimony, he was a katan. So the only reason for being mikil is because the original example was Kiyum Shtaros. The Kiyum Shtaros is Derabanan. Since Kiyum Shtaros is Derabanan, so we accept this guy, even though he's not a real fully kosher aid, we accept this. So the same thing, it's all cases that are Derabanans otherwise, or that the testimony is not really necessary, right? That's the examples where we're accepting his testimony. So if the guy person is going to eat Shuma Deraisa, that's not going to help us. So the case must be, that wouldn't be possible. So must be the case is Truma Derabanan. So Rashi explains, what's Truma Derabanan? Fourth white line in Rashi, Kagon Chumas Chutz La'aretz, Operis, Operos, Himninhu Lahani Lachilo Apihim. Right, so we trust him on about these items. Fine. Okay. And back in the Gemara, Vishaya Cholek Imanu Al HaGoren. Right, what if the person testifies, and there was a person who was there at the threshing floor, and he was one of the people who, again, was given Truma at the threshing floor. Again, it seems to give testimony that this person is a Kohen. So says Gemara Dilma Eved Kohen. He was same question. Maybe the reason the person is collecting Truma is because he's the Eved of a Kohen. Excuse me, not because he's a Kohen himself. Okay, says the Gemara Tanan, Kamanda Amar in Chokin Truma LeEved Elaim Kain Rabu Imo. Right. So this our mission of Mice must be assuming, right, like this opinion that holds that we never give an Eved Truma unless his master is with him. This on, yeah, it says it's taught in a brisa. Ein chokin truma la'eved elaim kain rabo imo di Rabbi Yehuda. Right, that Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that you cannot give truma to an eved unless his master is with him. Rabbi Yosi omer yachu shayomar. You could. Why? Because what can he say? Im kohen ani tinuli bishul atzmi. If I'm a kohen, give it to me because of myself. V'im eved kohen ani tinuli bishul rabbi. And if not, then give it to me because of my master. But meaning he can make the claim like I'm one or the other. Either I'm really a Kohen and you're giving it to me, or you give it to me because I'm allowed to eat Truma, because the Eved of a Kohen can eat Truma. What?
He's in the house.
Either Kohen himself or Eved Kohen can say so. It's not like when he makes that claim, it's a good point. Like when you read that, it sounds like, oh, he's like making some claim that can't be countered. Like, and that's not really the point. I think it's just that he could say, "I'm telling you, I eat truma." He's like, "What do I mean? I can't prove you're a Kohen." He goes, "Fine, I'm not a Kohen, but I'm at least the Eved of a Kohen," and he can make that claim, and we trust him. That's the point. So, but the bottom line is for us that our Mishnah, right? Who that isn't concerned when a guy says, you know, by the way, this guy was there at the Goren, so that's proof enough to us that he's for sure a Kohen and not an Eved Kohen. Why? Because our Mishnah seems to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, but who assumes that you can't give to the Eved unless the Rebbe's there. So if you're giving it to him, it must be that you assume that he's actually a Kohen. Okay. So what would happen? Bimkomosh Rabbi Yehuda Hayumal Mitruma LeYuchzin. Right. So in Rabbi Yehuda's play, in his community, they would actually go back to our conversation from before. They would, a person who would eat truma could be believed to have, you know, good lineage, right? Why? Because again, they're more machmir. In his town, where they're more machmir, right, Rabbi Yehuda, where they don't allow an eved to collect truma. So if someone's collecting truma, you could be sure that they have good lineage, that they are a kohen, right? Bimkoma, Rabbi Yosi, no, hayu malim truma liyochsen. In Rabbi Yosi's community, they wouldn't do that, right? Because again, in Rabbi Yosi's community, because they're more lenient, and they would allow you to give truma to the Eved. The fact that someone's getting Truma does not prove to me anything about their lineage. It could be they're an Eved. Okay. Fine. So now the Gemara tells a story about this concept. So Tanya, I'm Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi. So it says Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rabbi Yossi. Right? Not surprising, the son of Rabbi Yossi, presumably. Well, I think it's the same Rabbi Yossi, his son. So he says as follows, Miyamai lo ha'arati. In my lifetime, he says, I never ever gave testimony about someone being a Kohen. I never said, you know, there's something about them that you know, the Truma must be their Kohen. I never ever did that. Fine. And this is actually a fitting way for the Gemara to kind of like close up this parak, which has been a lot about this conversation about how do we determine someone's status as a Kohen. So, however, pam achas ha'adati, but one time I did. One time I said, this person's got to be, you know, it's got to be a Kohen because he was, after all, he was collecting Truma. And look what happened. A mistake happened. Because of me, they made a Kevin into a Kohen. I said, if that person's collecting Truma, it must be that they're really a Kohen. So the Gemara says, hello, Sagadadach. What? You think that really, because Rabbi Yossi, they mamish made a Kohen, an Evan into a Kohen? Nah, not true. Rather like this. Why is it not possible? Maybe the Kalayadam. We have a rule in general. That, and the Gemara is to talk about this, that Hashem will never allow even the animals of tzaddikim to come to make mistakes. Right? We never allow, Hashem doesn't allow Tamir Chacham tzaddikim to come to make huge mistakes. Hashem will step in if they're about to make a big mistake, even their animal. Atzim lo koshkein, certainly for them. So we never, Hashem never would allow, you know, Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Yossi to make such a big mistake, to treat an Eved as a Kohen himself. So what happened? So Ela big shula halos Ev lekohen. No, he said, no, what happened was, they were about to make an Evan to a Kohen api because of me. And then what happened? Chaza basrei, Rebbe Yossi, ve'alza ve'asei basrei, Rebbe Yehuda. So I saw what happened, but then I realized what was going on was, we saw what happened in the place of Rebbe Yossi, but we actually gave the testimony in the place of Rebbe Yehuda. And that's what almost went wrong, was that they had saw, you know, the person collecting in Rebbe Yossi's town, but in Rebbe Yossi's town, they would let even Avadim collect Truma, right? And they went and gave the testimony in the town of in Rebbe Yehuda's town, right? And then they wouldn't do that, and that's why it was confusing. But in the end of the day, you know, that's why almost a mix-up almost happened, but it didn't happen in the end.
Because he gave the testimony in Rebbe Yehuda's town?
Because he gave the testimony in Rebbe Yehuda's town, and they're very careful. But the point is, the reason that could have happened, meaning how could this mistake have happened? How could Rabbi Yossi make such a mistake?
Yeah.
The answer is, he saw in Rabbi Yossi's town and the testimony given in Rabbi Yehuda's town. So when he gave, meaning, how could it even happen? Meaning Rabbi Yossi's town, they would never accept the testimony of someone who would say, hey, I saw that person needing, you know, collecting chuma at the threshing floor. There must be a Kohen, right? In Rabbi Yossi's town, they'd say, so what? Maybe he's an Eved.
Because
they're not careful about it, right? There they allow an Eved to accept. But what happened? He saw it in Rabbi Yossi's town, but the place where he gave the testimony was in Rabbi Yehuda's town. Rabbi Yehuda's town, if he says, no, he doesn't say where he saw it. He just said, by the way, I saw someone collecting. He must be a Kohen. They're like, oh, Tanka, you know, in our town, we're Tanka careful. It must be really is a Kohen. And they didn't realize the place where he saw it wasn't in their town. It was in Rabbi Yossi's town, and that's the reason why he came to make that mistake. But at the end of the day, they cleared it up, and it didn't happen.
Okay.
No, they didn't actually make him into a Kohen. Okay. Okay, next example that they accept, v'shamakom hazeh beis haprasu. Right, what's the other example? That the area where we're walking is called a beis hapras. What's a beis hapras? A beis hapras is a area which is a burial ground. It's like a cemetery, and they plowed the area. So what happens in a place that's a burial ground, they plowed the area, so all of the remains of the people who are buried there are going to get kicked up by the plowing process. And the concern is that if the cemetery was this big, right, it's a certain square footage or whatever, once you plow the area, it becomes a disbursement of all of the remains. And it can get to a much larger area where there's a concern there might be, you know, still like, you know, remnants of bones or bone fragments or whatever in that area. So we need to know, and there's certain halachos that apply to beis hapras, you know, how a person walks through, we're going to see in a second, but the bottom line is that's a concern for people becoming tameh to walk through the beis hapras. So the point is, can we rely on this person's testimony to say that this area is a beis hapras, right? That already is telling me that you have to be careful how you walk in that area. So the Gemara says like this, my tamas, so why do we believe this again, this person who saw this when he was a child, and now he's a gadol, why do we trust his testimony? So us answer the Gemara, beis hapras derabanan. Right, the whole idea of a beis hapras is only a concern, a derabanan concern. Why? Dam Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel min ha-peach adam beis ha-pras v'holich. Let's say a person's about to walk through a beis ha-pras. He's on his way to the beis ha-mikdash to deliver a korban. He just can't become tamei. So what does he do? So he has to blow, like min ha-peach, blow on the ground, and then he can walk through. Why is he blowing on the ground? He's blowing on the ground that if any bone fragments are around, they'll get dispersed just by him blowing, and that therefore he'll be able to walk through. Okay.
That's not literally true.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's a good question.
That's what they did.
Yeah, but look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Mina peach adam beis ha-pras," on the left side. So Rashi says, it's like 15 lines in the bottom of the Rashi's. He says, "Mina peach adam," the first one in the line is, "Mina peach v'somech al kach she'im yesh etzem ro'ehu." So by blowing, it'll kick up the thing enough that he'll be able to see it. Right, if there's an actual bone. And Rashi points out, we're not worried about, generally you have a concept known as tumas ohel. If I walk, a person walks over a body part of a dead person, so you become tameh. But that's only true if there's a significant amount of the body left. If it's just a bone fragment, for example, the only way to become tameh is that you actually touch it. So the concern here is not that he's walking over a grave. That's not the concern. The concern is he might actually touch a bone fragment. So if he goes like this and he looks and he sees there's nothing there, so he can continue to walk through. Back to the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda bar Ami mishmei the Rabbi Yehuda Amar beis hapras shenidash tahor beis hapras that is nidash. Rashi says nidash disha rabba beraglaim harbe. Right, it's been trampled. Right, so then it's tahor. My taima I efshal etzem kisaora shlo nidash beraglaim. The people trample. Well, there's a path that's been trod through that area, so now you don't have to worry that if there was any bone the right size that would make someone tameh, it's already been trampled and been too small. It's already too small and not going to be tameh a person. But the point being, the reason we treat, a beis hapras this way, you could just blow and walk through, or if it's trampled, you can walk through. The answer is because it's only a derabbanan concern in the first place. It's not really concerning. And that's why we trust this person who only made the testimony about it being a child to say this area is a beis hapras, this area is not beis hapras, because the whole concept of beis hapras is only a derabbanan concept anyways. Okay.
You're not really allowed to plow up the cemetery.
Yeah, that's a good question.
But
yeah,
it happened.
Yeah,
point,
yeah, it's a good question. It's very permissible. Right? It should be the nivola mace question. Yeah,
yeah.
Should be a problem to do so. But the bottom line is that if it happened, that's what would happen. Yeah. Okay. But Ad Kan Hayinu Ba'in B'Shabbos, and he also talks about how far they would walk on Shabbos. How can that be? Why is that testimony important? And why would be accepted? Says Gemara Kasavar Tchumin Derabanan. Right. Again, this assumption that the Tchum Shabbos, that concept is only derabanan. It's actually machlokas. It's tchumin deraisa derabanan. Assuming tchumin derabanan, so that question again could be answered by this person who saw the testimony when they were a child and now they're an adult. Because again, it's only a derabanan type of testimony. Okay. Vei neman lomar derech chayel aploni b'malkum zeh maimad u'misped chayel aploni b'malkum zeh. Right. So now, what examples of things that we didn't trust? So we didn't trust him to say that this area was a place where they would, give eulogies, etc. So we don't trust them on that. Okay. So why is it important that, why are we not allowing the testimony of this guy about a eulogy took place in this area? So answer the Gemara as follows. My time, what's the reason? Because afuki mamona lomafkinan. Because this testimony, lechora, could prove that a person has died and therefore a Yerusha needs to take place. Right, who should be getting money, and that we're not going to do. We're not going to allow a person to be motzi mamon from someone else based on the testimony of this person. Again, he was a katan when they saw what they saw. Tan rabbanan neman atinok lomar kach amar li ava mishpacha zu tahora mishpacha zu temeya. Right, so again, a child is. So we have a Tosafta that tells us that a tinok, a child, is believed to say, right, my father told me this family is tahor, this family is tamei. So Gemara says tahor and tamei. Tahor and tamei. There's no such thing. There's nothing about mishpacha that's tahor. What does that mean? El mishpacha zu kasheira, mishpacha zu psula. Right. Now this family is has good lineage, and this family doesn't have good lineage. V'she'achanu b'ktzatza shel bas ploni leploni, and that we ate at the ktzatza of Bas Ploni Leploni. What is a ktsatsa? We're going to explain what a ktsatsa is in a second. But he's going to say, if he wants to tell a story, a child can tell a story that he, by the way, Tinok, Rashi says, is to tell it when he's older, right? But it's the same exact example. A person who saw someone when they're young, telling something about when they're older. So so what's the Gemara's explaining in a second what a ketzatzah is. But he can say we ate there. V'sha'ini molichin chala u'matanos l'ploni kohen. Right? Or that we brought chala or other matanos kuna to this person as a kohen, right? That we used to always go to Bob Cohen to bring him our truma. And he's believed to say that. Ade atzmo. Right? But that's only true if he brought him himself. Avaloi ade acher. Not if someone else took it. Meaning, you were told that someone was going to his house, that we don't believe. But if you say you brought it to his house, that's something else. And what if the person himself giving the testimony was not a child only and then became a gadol, but was a non-Jew and then had gerus? What if the person was a non-Jew when they saw the testimony and then they become Jewish? How do we accept them in that case?
Not a child, it's just a guy who
converts. Yeah, right. There's just a non-Jew who then converts. Eved v'nishtacher, or a person was an eved and then became a free person. Ein nemanim, they're not believed. Okay. Right, not believe to say person had a pathway in this area or this person was eulogized in this place. Okay, why not? Rioch Omer Nemanin. Rioch Broka says no, they are believed. So the Gemara says, Rioch Broka, hi, what's Rioch Broka relying on? He's Mikkel. And then he says, we believe all these people who saw these things. What's he relying on? Or what's he referring to when he says they're believed? Which case? So Ilema Seifa, if it's on the Seifa, the case again about being at the funeral of this person. So Afuka Mamono, that's going to be taking money from somebody that we're not going to believe. So El Aresha, right? So he must be going on the Resha. The Kulam Imhaya Ovi Kochav and Veniskari Ev Nishtacher Ein Nemanin Yochanan Broka Omer Nemanin. Right? So he says he's talking about the case of the non-Jew, the Eved who becomes a Jew. So, what's the machlokas between Yocham and Baruch, or between those who allow this and those who don't? Yocham and Baruch and the Tanakama, what's the machlokas about? So, Tanakama Savar, Kevin, the Ovi Kochavim, who lo hava daik. So, what do they say? Because he's a non-Jew, so he wasn't as careful. He doesn't know halacha, so he doesn't know like, what to even pay attention to. That's, he's not sensitive to the things that matter to us. Maybe Yocham and Baruch Savar, Kevin, the daik, the Igure, made the hava daik. Right, so he says no because he was maybe he was on his way already interested in conversion, so he already is a little more aware. So according to that svara, though, that this whole thing wouldn't apply if he was already thinking about conversion. But a person who was 10 years before he ever considered converting, maybe wouldn't help. Okay, so what's my ketzatza? What's a ketzatza? A very perfect story to end this parak that we talked so much about yichus. The Tana Rabbanan ketza ketzatza. What's a ketzatza? So what happens? There's a certain brother in a family who's marrying a woman who is, and this is in a Kohen family, marrying a woman who's not appropriate for him. And the concern is that maybe she's a mamzeris, or she's not appropriate to marry.
He's a Kohen?
He's a Kohen, or maybe even not a Kohen, actually. But he's marrying someone who's bad yichus, and there's a concern that she might be a mamzeris. So what do they do? So they would do. The family would take a big barrel of fruit and they would bring it to the the town square and smash the barrel in the front of the town square in front of everybody. They would say, "Achinu Beis Yisrael, Shimu, listen up, Achinu Ploni Nasa Isha Shein Hogeneslo. I want to tell you, we want to tell you that our brother is marrying a woman with bad yichus. We're nervous that maybe his children will not get mixed up with our children. And I want you to take fruit now, take something, and be a reminder that he should never have a mixing between his children and our children. There's a big to-do. And they would make this statement that this person's marrying someone who's not appropriate, and I want you all to know that. And so that way, no one should marry into his family, and no one should marry into, none of us should marry with him. And this way, it would be obvious to everyone this happened. The point being, this big show is the type of thing that children would notice. And giving out fruits, the Mefarshim pointed out, fruits are something that children would like. It's like giving out candies. Right? Oh yeah, we'd all remember this. It's like this big event that took place. And that was the way of everyone knowing that that this was true. And so if a person was a child, said, I remember when I was 7 years old and this happened, yeah, there was a ketzatza in my town about this guy, my neighbor down the block. So that was the type of thing that he'd remember, and that's the type of testimony that would be trusted. Okay. That's the Shikaryach, finish the second parak. We'll pick up with Dav. Chavtes next week.